reading is taken from James 4 on page 1215. Submit yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think, Scripture says without reason, that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, open our hearts and our minds. May our ears hear what you want us to hear. May we come close to you. Spirit of the living God, come. Come and fill us. Amen. So we continue our jaunt through James, that very practical yet enormously challenging letter. We must remember that this letter he wrote to Jewish Christians living in Gentile areas was around the year 49. These were very early converts to the faith, and they were struggling. They were struggling in two main ways. Firstly, being tempted by evil desires and disobedience to God. And secondly, about making their own plans rather than waiting on God. with an opening of the passage that reads, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" James must have been hearing of disunity among the converts. And in verses 1 to 4, he identifies some of the symptoms. Divisiveness between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Desire for everything but God. Lack of real prayer. And what prayer there was selfish prayer. And then, having identified the symptoms, he follows up by identifying the secondary cause, the acceptance of the world's ways, creating a disconnect between them and God. He calls their friendship with the world adultery. Conflict is always harmful, whether it be wars between nations or conflict between two people. The root cause, according to James, appears to be selfishness and self-centeredness. Is that ringing any bells in your life? We want things, money, possessions, status, rather than focusing on what God wants in our lives. We want to have our own way, the way we like it, and conflict ensues when we don't get it. I remember many years ago, before Sue and I were married, I was attending Christmas lunch at her house. And her mum wanted a lovely Christmas meal, the way she had prepared it, with lovely food and focusing on the family. The conflict's not between me, by the way. It's not me and the mother. It's not a me and mother-in-law joke. Don't worry. I'm not going down that. I'm not that brave. But it is a mother-in-law joke because it's Sue's mum's mother-in-law who had her own ideas of what a Christmas dinner table should look like. She thought that a Christmas dinner table should include bowls of nuts, sweets, dates, crystallized fruit, Turkish delight, and so on. And Sue's mum got really, really upset that the way that she had planned was being overwhelmed by her mother-in-law. And shall we say there was conflict? Thankfully, there were so many people to dinner that the amount of food that needed to go onto the table was such that the extraneous items were pushed onto the sideboard and quietly forgotten. But selfishness is within us all sorts of things. And James talks here about selfishness of prayer. Not aligning our prayers with his ways. And actually, did they have a prayer life? Do we have an effective prayer life at all? What do our prayers say about us and our relationship with God? You may have heard the acronym for a method of prayer being TSPOON, TSP. Thank you, sorry, please. But how many of us instead have PST prayers? Please, thank you, please, sorry, thank you. The last two being rather hurried, short add-ons at the end of our prayer time. But we know that God wants us to have good things in our lives. In the first chapter of James, verse 17, he says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father." And here in verse 6, we have, "His grace is given to the humble." James sets out to tell them how to restore their relationship between them and God. And he says, "Submit yourselves to God. They are to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from them. They're to draw near to God, and God will draw near to them. They're to cleanse their hands, because their actions lead them into sin. They're to purify their hearts because their hearts were double-minded and they need to be led into a pure life. They need to grieve and mourn and weep because their sins have caused them to be led astray. They need to humble themselves in the light of the Lord, because if they do that, he will lift them up. James goes on to say very clearly that we must not speak against our Christian brothers and sisters, and we must not make any judgments about the law. What did he mean about brothers and sisters? I think that's the whole body of Christ. Yes, about people in this church, now and in the past, but also about other denominations and their traditions. Who has railed against the loud-mouthed Pentecostals, or the uptight Southern Baptists, or indeed the Anglican High Church? James says we must have none of it, because in so doing, we are resisting God. We know that Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself, and so any bad-mouthing, unwanted criticism or gossip is breaking that commandment. Much better to build people up, encourage and be positive. James goes on and says that he's heard of conversations going on about people having plans and ambitions. And he responds to this boasting by redirecting people back to the core of the Christian message. These people have their interest in this life, in this world, and not in God or his work. They resist the Holy Spirit, his guidance, and they do their own things in their own strength. This is wrong. And we read in that final verse, where we have the basis for that warning about sins of omission, that it is not only sinful to do wrong things, it is also sinful not to do good things. Being a follower of Jesus is not easy, but working our way through passages like this helps us to focus on how we live our lives. If you've received Jesus into your life and call yourself a Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have a oneness with the Holy Spirit which will allow you to know how you should behave and spend your daily life. But if you're not yet at that point in your spiritual journey, or you're not sure, then do come and speak to Ben or Clive or me afterwards. Or maybe just come forward for prayer at the end after the service. God knows where you are, and he can do his business with you. We are blessed this morning to be in this building in safety and security. We are blessed that we can join together in prayer, in worship, in reading the Bible. We can submit to God on a daily basis. And I'm not a great lover of titles in Bible passages, because they're just things that have been added by humans. But today, the title that Catherine read was Submit Yourselves to God. If we submit our thoughts, our words, our prayers, our actions, and our plans to God, then, as this chapter tells us, he will come close to us, give us more grace, and lift us up. So shall we pray? Father, as we close our eyes and bow our heads before you, show us right now the things that distract us from you. Show us those things that keep us from accomplishing your work upon this earth. What is it that we truly desire more than your presence, God? Lord, forgive our foolish ways. Give us strength to maintain our focus on you. Help us that we may draw closer to you and live our lives in that close relationship so that we can serve you to your glory. So Holy Spirit, come and minister to us in our next song as we sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Let's use this song as a prayer and of a declaration of our determination to live according to his will in submission of him, our holy, true, and rightful God. Amen.